bit like the carpenter shaping the wood. You know, he takes a chisel and a hammer and whacks the wood, but from it comes something that's beautiful and creative, and God is working in our hearts and in our lives day by day. Can we just close the door, Daph, when you? Yeah, fine. If you turn to your Bibles, the Old Testament, 1 Kings and chapter 3. 1 Kings and chapter 3, just a reading from the Old Testament. I'm going to read from verses 5 through to 15. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom, so God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you ask for, and I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands as your father David did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon woke up and realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, where he sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. Then he invited all his officials to a great banquet. Father, as we just look at your word this morning, oh God, speak into our hearts, speak into our minds. Lord, illuminate your truths into our heart, Father, that we may grow. Lord, that we may be challenged. Lord, that we may be directed. Father, we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I heard of somebody once who was at a wedding, a minister, and as the wedding was progressing, this guy was asked, "Would you pronounce a blessing on the happy couple?" So he said, "Yeah, he would do that." So it came to the point in the service, so he went up to the front and he prayed over him. He said, "May you have the children of Israel, the wisdom of Solomon, and the patience of Job." And quite a blessing to give. And he said, "And if God gives you the first, the children of Israel, you will definitely need the other two." How often have you felt that with your own children? Lord, how I need wisdom. And I just wanted to share a few thoughts this morning on that idea, that thought. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Now, the Bible tells us that Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. There was no one like him before him, and there's been no one like him since, not with his wisdom. There's been some amazing philosophers and thinkers over the years, but no one has been like Solomon. Sadly, though, he didn't follow his own wisdom. He didn't follow his own advice. The scripture tells us that he married, I don't know, 600 or so wives, and he had concubines, and And they brought with them, many of them brought with them their own gods, their own ideas of worship, their own ideas of who God was. And eventually Solomon was drawn away from the worship of the true God. And ultimately this brought disaster to the nation of Israel and to the people of Israel after his death. So how do we define wisdom? How do we actually define wisdom? Well, Job says, wisdom belongs to the aged and understanding to the old, but true wisdom and power are found in God. So I look around and see our congregation, and I say, as you get older, we're supposed to get wiser. Are we? Are we getting wiser, do you think? Pete's not sure. Are we getting wiser as we get older? I'd like to think we are. And perhaps in some ways we do get wiser. I remember years ago when I was at work, and every year we had a fresh intake of apprentices, and we would sort of discuss them and talk about them and say, well, this year's apprentices, they're quite good, or not as good as last year's, but you know, last year's was exceptional, but these are okay, these lads are okay. And and we were just talking about them and so on, and saying, you know, they're bright lads, you know, they're really switched on, they're doing well, and that's a good thing. And one of the old hands says, old age, treachery and cunning will always outsmart youth, enthusiasm and inexperience. Which I thought that was a bit unfair. But, you know, as we get older, do we get wiser? Well, I suppose we learn by experience, don't we? You can think of several things where you think, ah, oh, I've done that before, I won't do that again. Because that doesn't work, that was painful, or that didn't produce the desired result. So there is that sense that sometimes, anyway, we learn from our experiences of the past. And one commentator describes wisdom like this, biblical wisdom. He says, it is the art of being successful, of forming the correct plan to gain the desired result. Its seat, the seat of wisdom, is the heart, the center of moral and intellectual decision. Let me read that bit out again. Wisdom. It is the art of being successful, of forming the correct plan to gain the desired results. Its seat is in the heart, the center of moral and intellectual decision. And this is precisely what Solomon asked God for in our reading in 1 Kings in chapter 3. And the more literal literal translation of what Solomon actually asked for, what he said, was, give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart. Give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart. A heart that's listening. And God was very pleased with Solomon that he had asked for wisdom. And so he gave him what he did not ask for. Now we might be very tempted to say, well, Lord, it would be nice if I was a very rich man. If I were a rich man. Remember the song, Topol sung that song. If I was a rich man. So he might have said to God, well, I want riches. I want as much money as you can give me. Or I want complete and utter victory over all those that oppose me. And things like that. But first and foremost, he said, no, what I need, What I need more than anything else is wisdom. Wisdom. And God's wisdom, biblical wisdom, is a very practical wisdom with an outworking in our daily lives. It's not some kind of deeply philosophical thinking and planning, some highfalutin ideas. It's a wisdom that works out in our daily lives, day by day, in a very, very practical way. And as we read through the Bible, we are constantly reminded that we and the universe are all part of God's creative wisdom as we look around. And when we look at that, when we see that, you know, we get the impression, well, all this is God's creation. He certainly knows what he's doing. Let me just turn quickly to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. I'll read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 40. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth? Who has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Who can tell God what to do? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No. For all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood in Lebanon's forest and all Lebanon's animals would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are worth nothing to him. In his eyes they count for less than nothing. Mere emptiness and froth. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that won't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words he gave before the world began. Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below him seem like grasshoppers. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. And it goes on through the chapter. And when we read those accounts of our creative God in his wisdom and his mercy, he's put it all together. And he's got it all there in his hand. He didn't get advice from anybody, and nobody gives him counsel, because he is God. And in James, in the New Testament, James chapter 1, we are encouraged to ask God for wisdom. But I think sometimes the thing is, when we ask God, we need to make sure that we are really trusting in him for his answer. See, when Solomon prayed and God asked him, what do you want? Solomon says, I want wisdom. And what he was saying, the translation of that word in the Hebrew means a heart that hears. God is saying, I want a heart that hears from you, because if I hear worldly wisdom, if I hear just from wisdom of the people around me, that's not enough. That is not enough. I want my heart to hear from you, because in you, the great creator, the eternal God, is the source of all pure, true wisdom. I want a heart that hears from you. I don't want to hear from my selfish ambition, because that's the other problem, isn't it? I don't want to hear from myself what I want. I want to hear what you want, what you have to say. Ambition is a good thing. It's a necessary thing, of course. It's good to have ambitions and plans. But the kind of wisdom we need from God you know, we need to have hearing hearts. And the danger can be that when we ask for wisdom, we sort of have our own agenda at the back of our minds. Our will, selfish thoughts, etc. They drown out the spiritual wisdom that God wants to give us. That our spiritual hearing is dull, we're not really hearing from God. And we perhaps want a particular course of action more than the direction from God's word. And that's a big thing, isn't it? That's a big thing to contend with. And I'm talking to myself as well as everybody else. We perhaps have a course of action in mind, a plan, an agenda. And we think, Lord, it would be a good thing if you could work things so that this could come around to that way. When we should really be hearing from God and what he wants and what his directions are. And so often things happen and we say, oh, well, I didn't, Lord, I didn't want it to go that way. I wanted it to go this way. But there is a reason why God does the things he does. And we are greatly helped if we are continually walking with him on that day-by-day walk with God in our day-by-day devotions, reading the Word of God on a regular basis, hearing from God. Because otherwise the stuff in the world, of which there is plenty, can begin to crowd in to our thinking, into our philosophy, into our ethos. And if we're not in contact with God, if our hearts are not in hearing mode, then the word of God can be drowned out and washed out of our lives if we're not regularly reading that and imbibing the truth of God's word. And we will find that the stuff in the world begins to take precedence over what God wants us to do. And so that regular walk with God, those regular times of prayer and fellowship with God, are so essential, so important to us. And if we stop hearing, if we stop having that hearing heart, hearing from God, then we won't receive that kind of wisdom that we really do need to hear. And then there's also the question of not just hearing, but obeying. Obeying his word. Worldly wisdom has its value, of course. There have been some notable philosophers over the years, and worldly wisdom is of value, but ultimately, it's only the wisdom that comes from above, as James puts it, talking about God's wisdom. That God's wisdom is pure, and it's wisdom from above. It's not confused or tainted by human philosophy. It's straight from God. We're singing that song, weren't we? Holy God. He's a holy God. He's separate. A holy God is a separate God. God is separated from the clatter and the chatter of the world. And his voice, his wisdom, cuts through all of that. And it's sad that Solomon drifted away from God. He started well, and God said to Solomon, if you keep a hearing heart, then I will bless you. I will bless you. And Solomon was indeed the greatest mind of his age, and there's not been a person like Solomon ever since then. But, that little word, but, didn't continue. And it's a reminder to us how strong self-will can sometimes be. You know, when if we really want something to happen, if we really want something to happen, and we're praying about it because we have an idea of what we want, it's hard, you know, isn't it, to say, but Lord, this is I think this is the right way. But it may not be what God wants, the outcome that God wants. And there's that tension, that struggle that goes on. Lord, Lord, am I hearing from you? Am I hearing from you? And it's in that daily walk with God and that daily trusting God that God teaches us these things, and that we come to understand that his wisdom and his way is right. Now, Solomon, of course, in his day, 1,000 years before Jesus, he didn't have that same communion with the Holy Spirit that we have today. Since Jesus has died and resurrected, gone back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to be our counselor, to be the one that can fill our hearts and lives with his word and his truth and give us that wisdom. So we have the benefit of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives day by day. And nevertheless, we still struggle with those selfish thoughts and motives day by day, don't we? We still struggle with them. There is that tension between our own self-will and the wisdom from above. Sometimes these things aren't easy to discern. And we just have to trust in God and really just commit our life and our path to him. And it's an ongoing tension. It's something that we learn through experience, yes, as we trust the Lord. We learn to trust him in these situations. But it helps us if we seek God for that constantly hearing heart. That constantly hearing heart, like Solomon had. And all the time he had that hearing heart, then God was able to speak to him and impart that wisdom. But sadly, in all our lives, you know, we stop listening at times for various reasons in our life, and we want to do things our own way. And so our prayer this morning is, Lord, give me that constantly hearing heart as I walk with you. And we're aware of that, of those tensions within us that want to go our own way, and yet sometimes, so often, all the time, we need the wisdom of God. And so I just want to leave that thought with you this morning, that let's ask God for the hearing heart, and let's constantly remind ourselves that, Lord, we need to have that hearing heart with you all of the time, because your wisdom, oh God, is really what we need. Thank God for common sense. You know, that's a good thing. But we need to walk in the wisdom that God brings us. Amen. Let's just close our eyes as I pray. Oh Father, we just confess to you, Lord, the tension that arises so often, oh God, in our decisions, in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you will give us hearing hearts, truly hearing hearts. Father, forgive us when those moments come, Lord, and we choose our own way. And oh God, things go wrong and it doesn't work. And Lord, we come to you and say, Lord, forgive me. Father, just forgive us as we get it wrong. Lord, help us to walk in that hearing heart mode, as it were, with you. Oh God, to receive your wisdom in our lives, day by day. Father, thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.